This is a previously recorded episode.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
With us today, Linda Deschent, who is CEO of the Mobile Technology Association of Michigan. She's going to be talking to us about a mobile technology apps and all that fun stuff, along with everything happening with Michigan Mobile Mondays. Then we're going to have the CEO of a managed services provider, Robert Sanders of ManagedWay, talk to us about the opening of his Troy data center. And finally, Mike, you bumped into someone at the Small Business Association of Michigan annual event, right?
Yeah, it's not typically someone we bring on the show, but Randy Richardville, who used to run the Michigan Senate. And as you know, we try to stay away from politics. And in this case,
not always.
In this case, he's got a consulting company. And one of the things I asked him point blank was, does that mean you're lobbying? And he goes, no, not really. So we'll find out more on the fourth segment.
We'll find out what he really is doing.
What is he really doing?
Okay. But first, Linda, are you with us?
I am here.
Linda, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So tell us a little bit about the event. It's actually this very night, tonight, right?
One of the
Detroit
events we're going to talk about is absolutely tonight, yeah, for Mobile Monday Detroit. We're actually doing an event tonight at Reese, and that event tonight is focusing on augmented reality and virtual reality technologies.
Okay, so what's going to be on display?
Well, this event is a little different. Normally, we do a couple of presenters, and they teach us about the technologies. Well, this time, we're not actually doing any presenters. We're doing all hands-on demonstrations. Mm-hmm. And so we have a bunch of companies coming in, and they're bringing their equipment with them. And so everybody is actually going to get a chance to put on the equipment and take a look at all of these different technologies and try them out. And so some of the equipment that's going to be available is going to be the Oculus DK2, Google Cardboard, the Oculus Rift, the HTC Vive, the Microsoft HoloLens, the Samsung Gear VR, the IMI NEO IC60, that's actually a Michigan company, and several more, I think. I'm not sure which ones they are. There's going to be multiple pieces of most of this equipment, so there's going to be a lot of different stations for people to try. And some of the companies that are going to be represented include Red Piston, which is out of Canada, actually, and Pixo Group, and NBC Universal, and IMI, and Kitestring Visuals.
Okay, so as long as we're talking about the event, what's the venue and what's the time and what's the cost?
All right, well, there's no cost. All Mobile Monday events are always free to attend, and the venue is going to be at Reese, which is located at 1250 Stevenson Highway, Suite 200 in Troy.
Okay.
And it starts at 6 o'clock p.m., and it will go till about 8:30.
And I plan to be there because I want to check all this gear out. We did have AT&T in here, what, 3-4 weeks ago?
Yeah, they had the Samsung apparatus, which is basically like a headset that you clamp a good-sized smartphone
into. Right.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And so it gives you virtual 3D glasses kind of projected on the cell phone, a movie's projected on the cell phone. And it was a little pixely, but it was also pretty darn cool. It was realistic 3D. and you were interacting with I know they call it something else now, but when I was a kid, I called it a brontosaur. So,
not the politically correct term anymore. Yeah. So just a very tall dinosaur now, yes, or something. Yes. You can't call them that, right?
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm sorry. The advantage, though, is that all of these firms that are going to be exhibiting the equipment, they're actually development firms, too. So they will have been developing software to work on these pieces of equipment for clients and such. And so they're actually going to be able to show different experiences that they've actually put out in the marketplace to work on these different pieces of equipment. So people are actually going to be able to see those experiences when they look at the equipment.
I know when I looked at my promo I had on my site that I had more than 400 or 500 people that already clicked on it. So what is your attendance like? You're above 100, right?
Yeah, let me check. The latest numbers, we're at 128 right now. And we usually have quite a few people show up and not register. So this is definitely going to be the largest one we've had in a while. It's going to be very interesting. I have a feeling we're going to be quite crowded. But, you know, that's a good thing, because the whole point is we want to get people there. We want to have a lot of networking going on. We want people to really be able to see the exciting things coming out and to be able to try new things.
How many folks do you typically attract to these events?
Typically, it depends on the topic, but Detroit usually gets, on average, about 60 to 80. Hmm. Some topics, we get around 100, but the average is probably in the 60 to 80 range.
So double your normal, right? So this is good. Does this tell you that you should be doing more of these demos in the future?
Well, it tells us either it's the demos or it's the particular topic of the AR and VR. I'm not sure which. So we may have to do a survey about that, because when we get this kind of a jump, we often do a survey to see what actually was the thing that drove that interest.
Okay, let's talk. I didn't mean to cut you off there, man. I said you're going to talk. But don't forget to talk about what goes on in Grand Rapids, and what's the other Michigan Mobile Monday location?
Yeah, well, the other two locations are Ann Arbor and Lansing, and then Grand Rapids
right.
is doing a similar kind of event next week. They're not doing demos, but they're doing what they're calling an open mic night, where they're inviting companies to present either mobile apps or mobile technologies. So they're actually taking applications right now for companies that are interested in presenting. So any companies that might hear this from the Grand Rapids area, they are definitely invited to go check out the Mobile Monday Grand Rapids site on Meetup so that they can submit their application to present.
And you're doing a boot camp in August in Grand Rapids with Keith Brophy and the Michigan, I always get this wrong, Michigan Small Business Development Center, right?
Yes, we're doing the mobile app boot camp for non-tech entrepreneurs again. This is, I think, the fourth one that we've done for them. And, it's going really well. And that will take place on July 28th.
All right. So you're having kind of a VR, AR trade show here, more or less. It's kind of a showcase for Michigan's part in this industry. Tell us a little bit about that, if you could, Michigan's role in this industry.
Well, you know, it really seems to be gaining steam. We're getting a lot of companies that seem to be exploring the idea of how these technologies can be sort of interfacing with wireless technology in different industries. So in other words, how can, for example, virtual reality or augmented reality be used on a smartphone or a tablet to help in the healthcare space or in a manufacturing environment? So I have a feeling that that's kind of what you'll start to see a lot of. Companies are really starting to take a look at how they can use these technologies to really enhance what is being done in a variety of industries. And we have a lot of companies that are really starting to explore it.
Is this becoming big for Michigan? Are we big now in mobile? I know the connected vehicle is big, but what about mobile and the rest? Is that becoming a big thing for Michigan?
Michigan is really big in a lot of areas of connected technologies. It's interesting because connected transportation or mobility or whatever you want to call it, because there's so many different terms, that's what gets all the hype. But we're actually big in a lot of different areas of connected technologies. And so this is something that I'm glad that people are starting to see that, you know, we're doing a lot of other things, because there's a lot of jobs being created in Michigan because of all of these areas of connected technologies. We actually create 6.54 jobs in the state of Michigan for every connected technology job that is created in the state.
Mm. That is impressive. So tell us a little bit about this this boot camp. What's that going to entail?
Well, the Mobile App Boot Camp, this is a series of boot camps that we've actually done with the SBDCs. This is, as I said, the fourth one that we've done. We did the first one with Automation Alley. We did another one in Lansing. We did another one at Washtenaw. And we're doing this one in Grand Rapids. And basically what this is we're teaching entrepreneurs who do not have tech skills, but they need a mobile app for some purpose in their company, to enhance their product or service offering in some way for their customers, or to facilitate something internally for their employees. And they don't really know how to begin the process of either working with a developer or hiring someone with the development skills. They don't really necessarily understand what they should be asking for when they say they want an app. So we sort of walk them through from A to Z. What should they be looking for in developing an app? What should they be looking for in a developer if they choose to go that route? How can they compare them? What should they be looking for in pricing? All of the different things that they need to be considering when they decide to go the route of having an app developed.
Sort of teach them to speak geek then, huh?
Pretty much, yeah. Because it's something that if it's really foreign to you, it can be a bit intimidating, especially when, you're a company that you're trying to figure out, what is the best company for me to work with? Am I even speaking the same language? I've got a budget that I've got to work within. How do I know that I'm getting everything I ask for when I don't even understand half of what it is they're saying? So we try to give them the knowledge to be able to understand how to effectively communicate with a developer. So, because it's honestly, it really helps our developer community as well, because that way when a developer talks to them, the developer really knows very clearly what it is they're being asked to do, and so that they can give a proposal that is very clear, that is priced very effectively, and that they don't get handed a lot of surprises once the contract is in motion. So it's very much designed to make it a lot easier for both the client and the developer.
And these have been very popular, right? They sell out quickly, so if somebody wants to get involved in the one in Grand Rapids, they need to sign up right away, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. They do sell out, and we only have one more scheduled after this that's going to take place in the Bay City area. I don't know if we'll continue them after that, but they do sell out. They have been very popular. We do limit them to 40 people per course. Definitely, if you're interested, you definitely should be signing up now.
Okay, we got about 30 seconds. Tell them where they can sign up, and then we're going to come back with you in the second segment. But tell them where they can sign up.
Email me.
Yeah, well, go ahead. Give me that email address.
info@gomobilemichigan.org.
All right. Well, we're going to come back with Linda, and hopefully I'll be able to speak by then. So we'll come back another segment. Yes.
You're not having a brain event, are you?
I don't know what's going on. I think it's the old man thing.
Gotcha.
But we're going to come back and talk in general about the Mobile Technology Association of Michigan. But this is Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch, and you're listening to the M-Squared. And my voice is cracking.
That's all, folks.
I don't know what's up today. You're listening to the M-Squared TechCast. Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast, proudly part of the PodcastDetroit.com family of fine entertainment, news, and musical podcasting. How about that?
Wow.
Okay.
I'm impressed.
All right. And we're back with Linda Deschamps, CEO of the Mobile Technology Association of Michigan. We've been talking about the app industry, for lack of a better thing, here in Detroit. Linda, tell us a little bit about MTAM. How did it get its start here in Michigan?
Well, about 7 years ago now, boy, it's been that long, the industry really was just beginning to take off not long after the iPhone came out. And we saw that there was a lot of people really starting to look at what they could do with mobile and wireless technologies, but really not understanding where to go for information and resources because there really wasn't any place to go. So we formed the trade association so that they had a place to go. And so our job since then really has been about putting together resources and referrals and events and ways of just making sure that we could be the resource that the state of Michigan needs, no matter what business you're in or what part of the industry that you might be working in, or what type of wireless technology you're working with, so that we can provide you with the tools and resources that you need to be successful.
And you have how many chapters?
Well, we're a statewide organization, but our Mobile Monday subsidiary has four chapters around the state, and that's our kind of educational and networking arm, and that has four chapters around the state, which is Detroit, Ann Arbor, Grand Rapids, and Lansing, and that has over 3,000 members.
Wow.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, and it's something that, you know, we've worked very hard on. It's, you know, there's an awful lot of people in the state of Michigan whose jobs are impacted by wireless technologies, and that's continuing to grow substantially. It's the fastest growing industry in the state of Michigan, and it's only going to continue to increase. As a matter of fact, by the year 2020, it's estimated nationally that there's going to be a shortage of 500,000 people to fill jobs in this industry. And because Michigan is so deeply involved in technologies, in connected technologies, it's estimated that 100,000 people are going to be short in the state of Michigan.
Just in Michigan.
So we've got to get more people involved in these careers very quickly. We've got about 4 years to solve this problem.
So if I am, you know, considering what kind of career to either enter or change to, what kind of skills are most in demand? You know, what should I be doing as far as my education goes?
Well, you know, here's the thing I will tell you. It changes literally every couple of months. I certainly think that you need to start with understanding programming. But you don't want to stop there because that's not the only skill that's going to be needed. It goes beyond that. You certainly need to understand wireless infrastructure itself. You need to understand the manufacturing of wireless technologies themselves, the hardware, how the technologies are put together, how they're manufactured. There's a lot of things happening with Internet of Things and how all of these different technologies are going to be working together. There's going to be jobs created that right now we can't even conceive of, and we need to start training people for them. So we need to really start looking at what are some of the basic skills that are going to be needed. And unfortunately, a lot of our educational institutions really aren't keeping up. So that's why you're finding that a lot of our companies are trying to take it on themselves, or a lot of nonprofits are really starting to try to do training because we've got to find ways to solve this.
Do you need a four-year college degree in order to work in this space? Can you?
No.
Technical training?
No. Certainly there are going to be some parts of the industry, absolutely, that you're going to need an engineering degree or a computer science degree or those kinds of things. But there's all kinds of different jobs that are going to be available that you're not going to need degrees. You're going to need training. You're going to need you know, on the job kinds of training. You're going to need internships and job skills and those kinds of things. And that's why we feel that it's really important to start these different kinds of on the job training programs now and get people working with these skills and these technologies, because that's how they can continue to evolve.
So what, the community colleges are offering something like this, or where's the training coming from?
Well, there's not a lot of it. We have some of them that are listed that are doing some things now on our website. But as I said, there's not a lot of them yet moving in this direction. But that's something that we're trying to change. We have lots of meetings and lots of conversations going on with a lot of educational institutions. The problem is it takes them a long time to be able to make changes. They have a lot of approval processes that they have to go through, and I understand that, but they need to find ways to move a little quicker, because otherwise we're not going to be able to fill the jobs, and those jobs are going to go elsewhere.
So do you need to do anything on a legislative basis as part of your function as the CEO of MTAM to do a little lobbying to get things done? Is that required?
I don't know. You know, it's part of the conversations that we're having. We're trying to figure that out. I think we need to get people more aware of the sense of urgency. I think they're not quite buying it yet. And once they get that, then I think we'll get more information on what we can do to make it happen. And, yeah, we may find that we have to go that route, but I think we need to start more with the educational institutions themselves first, and get more guidance from them on how we can work with them directly first.
So do you have any figures as an organization on the size of this industry, the scope of this industry in Michigan in terms of number of employers and number of jobs, that kind of thing?
Well, as I said earlier, every job we create in the connected technology space in Michigan, the last study that we did with MEDC, creates 6.54 additional jobs in the state of Michigan. To give you a comparison, the automotive industry itself, strictly automotive, creates 5.92. So I think that gives you some sort of a comparison. When we did that study 4 years earlier in 2011, it was creating 3.9 jobs. So it went from creating 3.9 to creating 6.54. Mm. So in just 4 years. So you can see how quickly it's growing. When we did the study, the last count was, if I remember correctly, it's been a while since I looked at these numbers. I think there were something around 2,600 different companies who were employing people using connected technologies. And that's not necessarily just making connected technologies, that was using connected technologies. And frankly, I think that number is low. And again, it's changing almost monthly. Because think about it. Hospitals, healthcare, automotive, think about even your entertainment venues, the Palace and all of the arenas, all of them are now using wireless technologies in some way. They have to have people staffing all of that. Every place you go, wireless technologies in some way is being employed. That is going to happen in every industry. There's not an industry that you can think of that is not going to be using these technologies in some way. People are going to have to be hired to work with those technologies, to install them, to manage them, to perform whatever functions are needed for whatever technologies they have installed. Those things are going to be needed.
Okay, so, but I was just wondering in terms of number of jobs, number of number of app developers, that kind of thing. If you've done sort of a, like a Crain's list of of these companies, so you had numbers on that.
Crain's hasn't done it in the last couple of years. They used to work with us to do that. They haven't done it in the last couple of years.
Yeah, okay.
Well, we'll have to step up and do that,
well,
right, man?
Yes.
Sounds like an opening.
Jeanette Smith, calling Jeanette Smith. Are you listening? All right, cool.
So the employers, I mean, if they the ones that really need this, shouldn't they be driving this process in some way to influence the academics or the legislature or whomever to come up with this training or make it easier to get this training? Would that be one way to do it?
Well, yeah, that's what we're here for. We're the trade association.
Right.
But, you know, again, they also work through chambers of commerce and whatnot. We all should be conveying the same message. The problem is that mobile technologies, wireless technologies, they're still very much a hidden industry. People don't yet understand how these technologies are actually impacting their lives and how many jobs they're creating. It's sort of this hidden thing. And so people are not really understanding the jobs that are going to be needed. And so we find ourselves having to have a lot of one-on-one conversations with colleges and high schools and that sort of thing. And so we've got to find a way to do this sort of en masse in order to make much faster progress. So we're working on figuring it out.
Okay. Well, I thought I was pausing because I thought you were going to say something.
Nope. I thought you had another question, so
nope,
I was pausing.
Ahead,
so we're going, Alphonse and Gaston here all of a sudden. All right. So Linda, tell us a little bit about your background. How did you happen to get involved in this industry?
Well, I was the national marketing director for a chain of wireless retail stores. And when that chain got bought out, was sort of right after the iPhone and all of that had launched, and I saw what was sort of coming down the pike and thought that it was something that I was going to continue to do on my own as a consultant. And I found as I was doing my consulting practice that I was spending most of my life educating companies, and I thought there has just got to be a better way. So kind of at that point, started working with some people and we started Mobile Mondays. That was actually the first thing that happened. We started Mobile Mondays. And that grew really, really fast. We started with Ann Arbor and then Detroit happened a couple of months later and it just grew really fast. But we found when we started the Mobile Mondays that it needed more. The people who were participating in Mobile Mondays needed more from us. They needed more information. They needed more resources. And so being the glutton for punishment that I am, I put together a board of directors and we formed a nonprofit trade association. And here we are.
Okay, so we're under a minute left. So if people want more information about that trade association, the Mobile Technology Association of Michigan can be found at?
GoMobileMichigan.org.
Okay. All right. Want to thank Linda Deschant, CEO of the Mobile Technology Association of Michigan, and a fine spokesperson for the mobile technology industry for staying with us for two segments here today.
Two segments, yes. Thanks, Linda, and I'll see you tonight then, right? So.
All right. Thanks so much for having me, guys.
All right. Thank you. And this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M-Squared TechCast at PodcastDetroit.com. Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you are listening to the M Squared TechCast right here at the PodcastDetroit.com network.
Wow, yes. And so we have with us in the studio, our only studio guest, everybody else is calling in today. We have Robert, what do you prefer, Rob or?
Rob or Robert's fine.
Okay, Sanders. He's the CEO of Managed Way, a managed service provider that just opened a new data center in Troy. Tell us all about that.
It's been interesting. It's part of a larger picture. We're focused on telecommunications. So the facility gives us a place to call home where we put a lot of the equipment that we use for other services. So it's kind of like an underpinning for other things.
So your cloud something, your cloud as a service, different things as a service, right?
Yeah. So our focus is cloud computing, fiber optic internet, and co-location. Obviously, co-location applies to the data center the most. So we're seeing a large trend in our industry where enterprise companies that would have like a small data center in their building are starting to realize that the economies of scale of operating a large facility with industrial equipment, they can usually bring their stuff to us and save some money in the process.
Yeah, it's a much bigger process than people think. My website's hosted by Liquid Web out of Lansing, and I toured those facilities out there. They're gigantic, and that's all they do. That's their thing. So
tell me a little bit about your, I guess, personal career path and how you came to be CEO of this company.
Well, it's a little different. Originally I started by playing video games in my grandma's basement. Mm-hmm. And so I started setting up servers.
That's a fine tech thing to do. But
yeah, yes, yeah. And that's kind of what led me into this. And I never really tried to do it, and I didn't go to school for it. This is what happened. So I was setting up video games for myself and then my friends. And then I started, putting them on commercial servers in commercial facilities using commercial operating systems. And one day I woke up and realized that, hey, there's a lot of companies that need this type of service too. And, they pay a little bit more reliably than the 16-year-old with their parents' credit card. And so that kind of led into, into hosting and managed hosting. And that's where – so in 2005, we kind of restructured things into the corporation that is, called Managed Way. So the name came from managed hosting, Rackspace was one of our competitors, Liquid Web. So that's where, the name came from. And then, as we got larger in hosting, we started buying more and more, assets in telecommunications. So that led into, acquiring data centers, building data centers, acquiring fiber optic networks. But then the hosting is kind of the underpinning of what we call the cloud today. Mm-hmm. So really for the last 15 years, I've been building clouds. We're just now starting to call them that. So I found that's kind of given us an edge in the industry too, because there's all these telecommunications companies that want to get involved with the cloud, and they don't even know what the cloud is, whereas it's something that we've been designing and building for the last 15 years.
Oh, please tell us, what is the cloud?
The cloud is someone else's computer.
Okay.
That's the simplest explanation I've ever heard.
Yeah, blank as a service, right? That's,
you name it, we cover it. Yeah. And plus you have more facilities on the west side of the state, right?
Yeah, we own two facilities in Troy, and then we're actually in several markets across the country.
Oh, yeah.
So we lease space. I think you're referring to Grand Rapids.
Right,
that's like our disaster recovery zone. We call it the Goldilocks zone because it's not too close and it's not too far. Mm-hmm. It's kind of just right. But then we're also in like Chicago, Boston, Santa Clara, Rancho Cordova, Los Angeles, Miami, Amsterdam. Someplace in Canada, I can't even remember. So it's really grown. And one of the things that we're working in now is stitching all this together and putting together a national carrier network.
Oh, wow.
So is that for load balancing that you have all these facilities?
No, just different customers in different areas over time. We purchase a lot of IP transit from a lot of large carriers, so we have aggregate peering agreements that allow us to go into markets and set up shop pretty easily. So we'll be working with a company here in Detroit that'll also have an office in, say, Boston, and they'll want to work with us there. So, you know, it's just grown from there, and now I just kind of have to connect the dots and tie it all together.
So how have you done your selling? How have you grown the business? I mean, you know, why should, you know, if I'm running a big company, I'm going to talk to Robert Sanders. You know, why? How did you convince people to do that?
Well, really, it was all organic growth. We've been trying to put together a sales team for, you know, the last year, and you know, it's been difficult because we want to take a customer centric approach, whereas in telecommunications, it's normally not as friendly.
Mm-hmm.
But the growth up until this point has all been organic. Mm. So, you know, our largest customer started as one machine 10 years ago, and you know, now they're our largest account. So just by working with people and helping them, and you know, over time, referrals, organic growth is kind of how we've gotten here.
Yeah, God forbid you do what you're supposed to do, right? You have to get you more business usually.
I know you're a private company. I'm not going to ask you for revenue, but is there some sort of guidance you can give us, like how many customers you have or some way that we can get the feel for how big you are?
We normally keep that pretty quiet because in the telecommunications world, we're still small.
Hundreds, thousands?
Well, thousands of customers.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many employees at this point?
I think we have about 35.
Wow,
okay. That's
pretty
big
size.
It's a good size for a hosting company.
Go ahead, Matt.
Absolutely.
Ask.
Yeah, I always have this question: is do you have openings, and if so, in what skill areas? That's a leftover from the last recession when jobs are so scarce. They're much more plentiful now, obviously. But I always ask people if they're hiring. So.
Yeah, we're hiring as fast as we can, but it takes the right person. I look for people who are passionate. We have a similar problem. You know, in the previous segment, we discussed wireless and how the industry is emerging. We have the same problem. There aren't really classes to teach this stuff, there's not a lot of training. But what I found is if somebody's passionate about technology and they have an internal motivation and desire to learn more, that by putting them in the environment and giving them the resources and the tools, those people will excel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you would think they will require certain basic skills, like a little community college or something, or can you take them straight out of high school and train them?
Well, it probably depends on how good a nerd they were in high school.
Well, yeah,
if they
were
like computer, you doing your own
these
coding,
kids are
right?
Better than I am, and you know, I've been doing this for a long time. So,
yeah well, you kind of touched on something. You know, I'm self-educated. I don't have a college degree, so
school of hard knocks.
Yeah, I learned the hard way, and. So I don't put a lot of faith in the college path. If anything, it's going to add a lot of debt, and then you're going to come in and, you know, we bring a lot of people in who have advanced degrees, and it doesn't prepare them for what they're up against. It's daylight and dark.
Is it? Okay.
Hmm.
So are you working with any of the high schools, like Cass Tech or someplace that's already got a lot of technical background going on, or...?
Not right now, not directly.
Would you like to work with Lawrence Tech? I happen to know a guy from Lawrence Tech, so.
you know, I wouldn't be opposed to it.
There you go, Matt.
All right. Okay. Well, maybe we could have him talk to some of our computer science people and see what they're into these days.
Pitch you a little softball there.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. So talk to me about security. Everybody's worried about cloud security, keeping data private that's supposed to stay private. What's the latest and greatest? Is there anything that keeps you up at night?
No, nothing keeps me up at night. But it's amazing from the outside perspective, outside in and the inside out. I mean, security, people treat it like it's a goal or an objective or a destination. Mm-hmm. And security isn't a destination. It's a journey. It's all the things and steps that you do along the way that keep your data secure. So it's how you design the underlying infrastructure, architect your system, the operating system. It's really by being mindful of every step along the way on how things work and interconnect. So in from the outside in, you see, well, and security is one of the largest fear-motivated drivers in the market. So fear is something that drives people to make purchases. So you see a lot of stuff in the industry that's really snake oil. You know, where they're selling false hopes and false securities and not really addressing the underlying problem. But that's because the underlying problem is how the system was architected from the ground up.
Hmm.
So It's interesting you meant security. It's, you know, I don't really stay up at night because I do the right thing every step along the way and I don't cut corners.
The layered approach, you do a lot of different things?
Yeah, it's like an onion. You know, there's multiple steps involved. It's not, you know, install this piece of software and you're secure. It's your methodology and how you approach the problems for your service deliverability.
And I imagine you always have somebody on monitoring what's going on for intrusion detection, things like that, right?
Yeah, we monitor everything. And we're also audited against it under our SOC 2 compliance.
Right. I think I just got a press release from the Liebler Group.
Last
I throw that
week.
Out because Pat's in the studio. Say hi, Pat. Lean in.
Hi. How are you? And, of course, you get all of our press releases for Managed Way.
There you go. Okay. Well, anyway, he sent me one saying that you got that certification. So,
yeah, it was something that, you know, being in this industry a long time, it was like the Wild West. Early on in the days, there wasn't any regulations, and at some points there weren't even laws. And then, you know, as the industry you know, grew, they started adopting other practices like the SAS 70, which is an accounting report for controls regarding financial reports, was started becoming applied to service organizations. And, you know, it really didn't apply, but it was the best thing we had. And then that grew into the SOC definitions, SOC 1, SOC 2, and mm-hmm. so on, so that, you know, now they directly address the, you know, five principal criteria for service organizations. So it's been an evolution, and it's been interesting to watch to go from a point where there weren't even laws that prevented things to really tight regulations over
controls. Yeah, you got HIPAA
controls.
Now. You've got Sarbanes-Oxley if you're publicly traded, and they have a lot of clout. If you violate those, people are going to get hurt, you know, by go to jail, fines, something like that's going to happen.
Yep,
so.
Yep. All right, so we're under a minute to go. Tell us how people can reach you for more information, both about your company's service and for potential employment.
Well, our website's managedway.com. info@managedway.com will always go to somebody and can mm-hmm. be sorted and redirected from there.
All right. Well, I want to thank Rob Sanders, CEO of Managed Way of Troy, for coming in today to talk to us about his company and about the cloud. And remember, folks, that very simple definition, the cloud is somebody else's computer.
I like it. That's as simple I've ever heard it.
Very catchy,
very good,
yes.
So.
Three-word answer. All right,
yes.
Thanks. We will be right back, hopefully with Randy Richardville, former Michigan State Senate Majority Leader, who is now starting a new company. We'll be talking to him in just a moment. But for now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brown.
And you're listening to the M-Squared TechCast on PodcastDetroit.com.
Let's stand by.
Good afternoon. It's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M-Squared TechCast.
That's good.
And we're going to wing it, folks, because our guest has not called yet, so we may still transition over to him if he calls. But for now, we've got Managed Way CEO Rob Sanders still in the studio talking about the opening of his data center in Troy. And I asked you during the break a semi-impertinent question, and I'm assuming you will answer it with good humor as well as valuable information. But what do you think is the biggest ripoff in the cloud industry?
It's tough to say. It's the whole industry's the value is based on perception. So there are a lot of bad actors in the industry that that take advantage of the fact that people aren't necessarily aware of what things should cost.
Hmm. Sounds like the web page development business about 20 years ago.
Oh God. Yeah,
the SEO maybe, but
yeah. Right.
So you were saying snake oil. A lot of people are selling snake oil. Your words. So what exactly snake oil are they selling?
As far as I believe we're talking about security,
right? Yeah,
it's just a lot of the products are really give people a false sense of security. You can't apply a product over to a poorly designed infrastructure and make it secure. Security has to be something that's done every step along the way. To achieve the goals, you can't go back and like buy a box.
All right, so I'm a new customer. I come in and say, "Gosh, you know, I've got my server and I want to bring it in here to your farm, and yeah, have you guys manage it for me? What do I need to do? What's the first steps?"
Well, we would sit down and just you know have a discussion about your needs and where you're trying to go and you know how we can help you.
And sort of describe your typical customer. I know you said you had thousands, but give me what's your sweet spot, would you say?
It's such a wide range. With telecommunications, we touch every industry and every type of customer. So there isn't really a sweet spot, but we do a lot of business with other telecommunications companies, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of technology companies use our services. But we have customers on almost every end of the spectrum. So
what's the smallest business that you serve? How big is the smallest business?
Without naming names, of course.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we have like $5 hosting accounts and stuff. So,
really? Wow. Yeah. Okay.
$5 host?
Yeah.
What does
Mike,
that buy?
You might have to look into that.
I guess. Yeah. Save you some money. So what is a $5 hosting? What is that?
It's just access on a shared hosting server. It's pretty basic stuff.
Get a couple of email accounts with it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the industry trend overall, I think web hosting itself is going to disappear because the value isn't in the hosting account. The size of the industry, it's going to drive hosting down to no cost. It's going to be such a simple commodity that the only way to do business in that segment is going to be the value that you add to the service.
That's sort of like data storage has gotten to be. On an email account, it's like the first terabyte is free.
Right.
Well, think about 10 years ago how much a terabyte cost.
Oh, God,
The cost of providing these services are being driven to near zero. But where companies add value is where the industry is going to move towards. So,
and you add value how?
Well, expertise, I don't know. We're not strong in web hosting. We're actually moving out of it, and it's not on our next website revision. We won't even have it listed.
Just moving away from that into?
Well, like a lot of our customers are web design companies.
Uh-huh.
So they add value by not only can they host your page, but they can design it and they can update it and they can keep it secure by their best practices. So we provide them the underlying infrastructure, and then they add value through their services, and then they sell the end product.
And then typically they would have their own server, or you put them on multiple servers, or what?
It varies. Some just have one server. Some have multiple in our cloud. Some have private clouds, which is basically dedicated hardware to them. And it depends on the customers they're serving and the type of service they offer.
What do you see on the horizon? Video is getting really, really big. I don't think it's really taken off to the degree that it will. A lot of people say that 70% of internet traffic in a couple of years will be video. Do you agree with that?
The vast majority of traffic on the network has been and always will be machine to machine.
Will it be?
So okay. It's machines talking to machines. Is the vast majority of all traffic on the network.
Sort of the Internet of Things kind of is really driving it.
It is becoming what could be called the Internet of Things, yeah.
Okay.
So machines doing what? Talking to machines doing what, though? That sounds like something that's happening sort of behind the public internet.
I'm thinking Terminator here. Skynet, you know. when it gets sentient, we're all dead, right?
Yeah,
you know,
right. As soon as we become useless to them. Yes, right.
Well, say you have a small office with 50 people and a local server. So okay. All day long, those people work on local files on local servers that's stored locally. But what happens at night? Your backup kicks off and it sends it somewhere else. So the amount of traffic that you consume during the day looking at websites and checking email is minuscule to the terabytes of information that goes out when your backup kicks off. So that would be machine-to-machine traffic, your local storage server replicating to your backup server wherever that may be. So that is, you know, vastly more traffic than that same office would consume during the day.
Yeah, like me writing a couple stories for the magazine and emailing them to my boss for him to proofread or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
But then, you know, when your computer backs up and all the stuff that you were working on gets replicated, that's where the traffic is.
Speaking of that, you know, we've got these ransomware attacks going on. Imagine a place like yours with all that data. Are you battling any ransomware folks? Have you had any issues with that?
Never had an issue, and I don't really see one. It's just the philosophy we take doesn't expose us to that attack vector.
So? How do you block against that, to protect against that?
Well, one, we don't use any Microsoft products. First level of protection.
All right, good.
Two, the infrastructure that does backup and replication isn't being utilized. You know, there's not somebody on the server browsing the internet to get a malware infection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is commercial and industrial equipment, so all it does is its defined purpose. So that limits the attack vectors for security.
But I mean, if you're providing services to all these other companies,
it's a nightmare for them.
Yeah, right. Apparently the way this stuff gets in is somebody gets a phishing attack or they click on a bad website somewhere and suddenly it's in. You're the ones that are taking care of the servers. How would you deal with that? I guess I'm confused.
But we're not a managed service provider that takes care of people's systems.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, the infrastructure that we host isn't the target of those types of attacks.
Got it.
We have other attacks. You know, denial of service is the ones that we see.
Sure. I mean, that's been around for a while, very popular. But I haven't heard much about it lately. Is it still real big?
Yeah. The problem is, if anything, speeding up.
Really?
You know, we,
because it doesn't make the headlines anymore like it did 15 years ago.
It's not, you know, sexy
when it,
anymore.
When it would shut down websites. But
well, that might just be that it's not being covered.
Okay.
But they're certainly growing in size and frequency. Wow. I mean, I would bet that we're probably seeing one right now at this moment in time.
So go ahead.
Well, I was just curious. So you don't use any Microsoft products. So everything you do is open source. It's Linux or?
Well, anything that I touch is a Mac.
Okay.
And
yep.
I equate it this way. So we build commercial computing systems.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to build our tools. We need our tools to just work. So I open up my Mac and it always just works. My Time Machine backs up anything that might need to address, and then I can focus on building the commercial infrastructure, which is Linux or some Unix, derivative, or some customers choose to do Microsoft, but those aren't typically the systems we design and engineer.
That's more for just sort of basic office functions, that kind of thing?
Yeah, like small office, small business. A lot of them turn to Microsoft because it's a lot easier for them. It's more familiar for them to manage the interface, whereas mm-hmm. everything we do is command line and text files, and there's no guides, there's no GUI to search through. Either you know it,
no,
or
no
you
way
don't.
To look at cat videos that might be hiding something. Or, yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah, but that's also removes a lot of the attack vectors,
right,
for security.
All right. So as Matt asked you earlier, let's cover that again. You are hiring folks right now. What sort of jobs are available?
We've actually hired a few people, but we're trying to build out our sales team because I mentioned earlier, we don't really have one. We've kind of grown organically and just word of mouth. I'm also need help with our network engineering, both carrier services and outside plant, like taking care of our fiber and things like that. And just there's a lot of odd jobs here and there that come along with this industry.
So are folks with these skills hard to find?
The right ones are hard to find, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Is there anything the local, you know, educational institutions or community colleges could do about that?
It's tough because, you know, our position in the industry, being a telecommunications company, it's almost like trade secrets.
Yeah.
You can learn the underlying fundamentals, but nobody will show you how to put them together to operate as a carrier.
Yeah, I know Secure 24 started their own, you know, sort of virtual, they call it a university, where they take people with just basic computer skills, basic coding skills, and teach them that stuff. So it sounds like that's what everybody has to do to a certain extent.
Yeah, we try to find people who are passionate and interested and have a natural aptitude. And then by putting them in the environment and giving them the tools, most people take off.
Hmm. Very cool. All right. So once again, the website of the company?
Managedway.com.
Okay. And you're in Troy. The headquarters is in Troy. You have two data centers there.
Yep.
And then another one in... I think it was Byron Center, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I believe so, right?
Well, yep. We own two in Troy, and then we lease in Byron Center. Okay. We also have lease space in Southfield and then around the country.
All right. And these data centers that you have, the big ones, you know, obviously I would imagine it's redundant everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything is fault tolerant. Most of the stuff – see, I don't like to quote the tier specifications because some of it's silly, but almost every piece of equipment is tier 4 spec. But then they kind of jumped the shark a little. So, like, one of the requirements is everything has to have dual power feeds. Now, we have a room in our building that all it does is host batteries, and we keep that room at 77 degrees because it's the optimal temperature for the process for in the battery. So they last longer and they work better. Now, what we did is we put two units in there with single feeds, but they're off of different plants. So one is A and one is B.
Mm-hmm.
The Tier 4 spec says that both of those have to have A and B power pass. But it doesn't really make sense because one is redundant for the other. So if one goes down, we have an entire other unit to cover it. So it just increases costs and complexity. And whenever you increase complexity, it actually becomes more difficult to maintain. And in some instances,
more likely to fail.
That's where I was leading. It's more likely to fail. So you can often, by trying to reduce your outages, you can often increase the complexity to the point where you actually cause your problems.
Hmm.
And then because it's more complex, it's more difficult to repair.
Well, and heck, we all know the power never goes out around here anyway, right?
So. Always on. We love DTE, right? So storms.
Yeah. Well, we have two substation feeds and generators.
Oh, okay.
Just for that reason.
Yeah.
So it takes quite a lot for us to lose sleep at
that's
night.
That's one thing the data center industry's growth has really done is help the diesel engine industry. Who'd have thunk it? Because every data center around's got to have two big honking diesel engines out back that hardly ever get turned on.
Once a week.
Yeah, once a week, yeah.
You got to cycle them once a week.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the radio station I worked for, WWJ, had a big diesel generator out back, too. After the power outage of 03, they realized the little bitty generator that they had out back would only keep the radio station on the air, but it wouldn't do anything for the lights or the phones or the air conditioning or anything like that. So it was very quickly 95 degrees in there. Now they have a big diesel generator, so the whole place is lit up.
They'd send Matt out there, and he'd crank it up and get it all started.
You know, start pulling on the chain. Yeah, right. All right.
We're going to have to wrap. We got a minute left. So we've been talking to Rob Sanders, who's the CEO and chief cook and bottle washer, started the company, Managed Way, and you're headquartered where? I guess
in Troy.
Troy. Okay, I wasn't sure because you have all these data centers, but I don't know where.
He is in a secure, undisclosed location.
A secure, underground,
underground bunker.
Bomb-proof, The bad guys can't get to him. That's good, right?
I think that's enough of that. And we also talked to Linda Deschamps, CEO of the Mobile Technology Association of Michigan. GoMobileMichigan.org. Check them out. If you're at all involved in the software development, app development industry, they're good people to know. But we will be back again next week, Monday,
like
July
not,
18th.
Right?
Yes. Yeah, this seems to be a habit now. And so we will be back. And remember that you can always find us for listening anytime on iTunes and at podcastdetroit.com.
SoundCloud. Don't forget SoundCloud.
Oh, also SoundCloud.
Yes,
that's right.
Yes.
Yeah, our friends at SoundCloud. You betcha.
And even at MI Tech News.
So please listen. Listen early. Listen often. Tell your friends. But until next week, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast, proudly part of the PodcastDetroit.com network.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.
This is a previously recorded episode.